20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast, the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Once again, and as always, another weekend nears. I am half of your Thursday crew, Jason Perrone. You can find some of my work also over at Game On Wisconsin. I do the Quick Slants Podcast, where I am anxiously awaiting noteworthy news so I can actually do a Quick Slants Podcast over there. With me, as always, of Packer Report is Mark Eckel. Mark, last time we talked, you said it was really nice on the beach. We're a week later into
cooled off. I mean, it was beautiful all week. It just kept getting nicer, and then but Wednesday, and as we know, we tape on Wednesday. It dropped a little. It dropped into. It was like I said, 70s, 78. It was beautiful. Today, Wednesday was down in the 60s again. So it did cool off a little bit. I think Thursday is going to also be in the 60s. So
not as beachy.
Not as beachy as it's been,
we finally warmed up. I got you. Yeah, we finally warmed up here. I mean, we eclipsed 70, but everybody else is giving me the finger right now because they're still dealing with snow and winter storms and all that kind of stuff.
Hey, friend of mine, and I know we're not going to do all weather, but a friend of mine was just out in Arizona about, I'm going to say a week ago or maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And said it was kind of cold.
Like, it was.
They were not expecting what they like. They're from New Jersey, and they went out. They like about four or five of them all met in Arizona, and she told me I was like, so I didn't pack for what the weather was. Yeah. I was expecting, you know, very warm, and it was not very warm.
Yeah, it's been dumb. It's been dumb out here. So, but it's finally warming up for what we consider to be nicer weather. I mean, it's not even officially the end of winter yet till the 21st of March. So we got a couple more weeks. But anyway, where to begin here, Mark? So we're going to, spoiler alert, obviously, we're going to give our take on the Aaron Rodgers situation because there have been some developments this week. Obviously, the Wednesday show did a good job talking about some of the stuff that had gone on Tuesday. We got some news on Tuesday. Really no updates came through on Wednesday other than the Jets brass. Of course, we were hopeful. The Jets brass that went out to visit Aaron Rodgers on their private plane ended up going back. They went back to New York, so they're back, and nothing was announced. So that doesn't mean nothing is done. We just don't know about it if it is, or maybe nothing was done. So I guess we'll just start there, Mark. I mean, so Tuesday we learned that the Jets were going to go visit Aaron Rodgers, which means the Packers had to grant permission, which means it's even more real than it was. I mean, it was real the week, 2 weeks ago, and now it's like bulletproof real that
he's going to be a Jet.
Yeah.
It's like, did you see West Side Story?
I have not seen West Side Story.
Never to all one or no one. Huh? There's a line in that movie. Once you're a Jet, you're a Jet all the way.
So there you go. All right. So
anything, and we've seen through the years in all sports, you know, some deals do fall apart. But this looks like it's happening to me. I mean, the Jets made sense to me from the beginning. They hire Hackett. That wasn't by accident. I mean, there was a lot of people they could have hired. You know, there was a lot of good offensive coordinators available this offseason. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying Hackett's good or bad. I'm just saying there was a lot available. They hire Hackett, you know. they don't get Derek Carr, who a lot of, you know, they wined and dined him for a little bit, but he decides to go to New Orleans, which smart on his part, I think. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, right now the Saints are the best team in the NFC South, right? I mean, he'll be in the playoffs. But you know, it's funny. I keep hearing like, oh, the Jets get Aaron Rodgers. They're a Super Bowl contender. Are they? I mean, a contender. I guess anybody's a contender, but I still think they're the second best team in their division, maybe third.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, well, the Bills. Yeah, the Bills for
sure.
They're
not better than the Bills with Aaron Rodgers.
Miami.
And Miami's pretty good.
And New England ain't no slouches.
Well, yeah, but I'll give the Jets. I would say they would be better than New England. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't take the Packers to the Super Bowl in a long time. What makes people think he's going to take the Jets to the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, I'm going to sound cheesy here, but to make a team a contender, okay, that's fine. The word contender...
Yeah, I guess you can say contender.
Can mean a bunch of different things. I mean, the Packers with Aaron Rodgers every year, you could say were contenders. Yeah, they were contenders. Sure. I mean, and we felt good about the team, and then, you know, things, yeah. And sometimes things didn't fall apart till later. So sure, I guess if you want to say, like, how are the fans going to feel if their team has Aaron Rodgers throwing the football? They're probably going to feel pretty good. But as far as the level of competition, as we know, the AFC is stacked with quarterbacks.
Yes.
You know, you look at the NFC and the AFC, there's a huge disparity. It's kind of shifted over the last couple decades.
It really has.
And, I mean, all of it. I mean, as far as the NFC, if you take Aaron Rodgers out of the NFC and you look at you assume Jordan Love is going to be the starter for Green Bay, just hypothetically speaking, who's the best quarterback in the NFC now?
Jalen Hurts.
Okay, Jalen Hurts. And who's next? You had to think about it. And Dak, so did, and so did I. And yeah, so, and if it is Dak Prescott, are you scared of the NFC?
No.
No. Because that means Kirk Cousins is coming up third. I mean, you know, yeah. Do you think Derek Carr is going to step in and light the world on fire in New Orleans? I don't.
No, but he's I think he's better than Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, he will be. I mean, but he'll be, I don't know about better than Cousins as far, well, I should say, I don't know if the Saints will be better than the Vikings. As far as actual quarterback play, we can argue that.
Hey, the Vikings, I mean, was it last week? When did we do our Russ Ball show? Was that last week?
Last week.
Well, again, and I'm just going to say it again, even though I kind of stressed it last week. The Packers were whatever many million over the cap. They did what they had to do, and now they're whatever million under the cap. Apparently, the Packers ranked 14th now, and they have the 14th best cap situation, which is a miracle from where they were.
I think to your credit though, Mark, weren't you weeks before everybody else was freaking out saying this is not going to be a problem?
Yeah, because I know what we went over that, how the Packers don't wake up the day after they lose a lot and say, oh God, what are we going to do? We're over the cap. No, this was all planned out. But again, the Packers did it by, they redid Aaron Jones, they redid Preston Smith, they redid Kenny Clark.
Yep.
And they got some other ones to do too. Mm-hmm. The Vikings just cut Eric Kendricks.
Yeah, they let Kendricks go.
He's a very good player.
Yeah, he's still good.
The Kansas City Chiefs, who won the Super Bowl and a very good organization, they're going to cut Frank Clark. There's a lot of good players around the league that are getting cut because teams are over the cap.
Yep.
The Packers didn't cut anybody
to
get under the cap. They redid some things. That, to me, that's a credit to Russ Ball.
And, it is.
And the whole organization.
And my question was, and again, it still remains, which is, when was the last time the Packers – had to let a player go strictly because of money? Don't tell me about Devontae. That was a different story.
He wanted they offered him just as good a deal, if not better, than the Raiders gave him.
Right. It was so too late.
He just wanted to go play with his buddy, who's now in New Orleans.
It was, but well, and I think he was hoping maybe another buddy might come join him in Las Vegas, but I'm not hearing much about them right now. So so as far as that goes, yeah, I mean, the Packers have left themselves in good shape here.
That's a very good question. You could say Za'Darius Smith, but I don't think that was money. I think that was more personality, and then he hurt his back.
Yeah, I will argue all day long. Okay, here's the deal. I will argue all day long that it was personality number one. Then there's this really long space on the paper. And then number two was the money.
Well, but back injury goes in there too somewhere.
Yes. Well, and back injury and money to me are almost kind of similar, because now they didn't want to pay him for what they thought might be a troubled follow-up season. But, you know, listen, he wasn't bad for the Vikings. He actually
He
had a good season for them. So, you know, kudos to him for still being a great player. But, you know, now that the Vikings are going to have a decision to make,
Probably going to get cut from them.
It's very possible that he ends up getting cut from there too. And listen, I'll leave this at this, because it's not a Za'Darius Smith show, but if a team wants to keep a player, they're going to keep the player. If they're letting Za'Darius Smith go, yes, it's about the money, but it ain't all about the money. So
I was surprised Eric Kendricks, though. He's a good player.
Yeah, he really is. It kind of makes, whenever something like that happens, it kind of makes me wonder what the Vikings know that the rest of us maybe don't. I don't know. He didn't seem to have an injury. He's not old.
No, it's money. They have to get under the cap.
Well, that's what I'm saying though is that if you have a player that is still young, I get the money. I get the money piece of it too. And again, this just exacerbates your point, which was that the Packers have done a good job of planning for the future and not having to let players go. And the Vikings may have said, "Hey, we have no choice. We want to keep this guy, but we simply can't." And it's a new front office that inherited some of what Spielman did before. So maybe there was their back was against the wall. But I still say if Eric Kendricks is as good as he's ever been and he's not old, like you got to find another way than cutting him. You got to find another way than cutting him to keep him in Minnesota. So that's what makes me wonder what is going on with him there, or if the Vikings just, I don't know, do they feel like they've got the next up and coming linebacker? Or I'll tell you something right now, the kind of playmaker that he is and the kind of linebacker that he is, I'd put him in the special category. You know, I wanted him. I think it was, I can't remember what year he came out. Was it 2016?
I don't remember.
I think it was.
No, it was before that.
Was it 14 then?
It might have been 14.
2014. So he was one that I would have. I loved the HaHa Clinton Dix pick in the first round. I'm not going to lie. I celebrate. I was very excited about that pick. But Kendricks was one where I was like, man, I would love to have him, because you could just tell that he was a player. And I also that was the only season I had ASU season tickets, so I did get to see him play with UCLA. Okay. When they came and played, that was Brett Hundley was on that team too, and they beat the heck out of ASU. But ASU actually had a good season that year. Demarius Randall was on that team playing safety. ASU beat Notre Dame that year. That was a fun one. But so okay, back to Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
You said something interesting.
What did I say?
And you said to me, which is he's going to be a Jet. So retirement is off the table in your mind.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's never off the it's. It's on the table, but it's at the, is that long, like you just said about the long space.
Right.
I mean, he could always, I don't want to try to think for Aaron Rodgers. 2015, it was Eric Kendricks' draft, by the way.
Oh, geez. We could have done a ton of other things in 2015. That draft can go into the wastebasket. Yeah.
I mean, if he wanted to retire, if he was retiring, if that was on his, if that's when he came out of his 4-day, whatever that was called, retreat, whatever. And he decided he was retiring. Does he entertain the Jets all day yesterday? Does he talk to them the day before and make them fly out there and all that? I don't think so. Why would he waste his time, their time, to tell them to say no? You know what? I'm retiring. No,
I agree with you in principle. If Aaron Rodgers wasn't such a strange individual personally,
he's a complicated fella.
Then I wouldn't have even brought it up again, because I could see that ending up being the thing. But part of what, and again, tea leaves, my interpretation, somebody could argue with me, that's fine. That's what life is all about, right? Let's argue about it. When he went on the Aubrey Marcus podcast and talked a little bit about some of his time in the darkness retreat, because I was trying to listen for some ideas of what his thought process was. And I thought at one point he said, you know, I had to get my mind wrapped around. I had to think, you know, why am I afraid to keep playing? I should be playing. I want to play. Why am I afraid? Something to that effect that led me to believe that he was contemplating, hey, I want to keep playing, but I already know if I'm going to keep playing, it's going to have to be in a different, totally different place than I'm in right now, that I've been comfortable in and that I've lived in over half my life. He spent more than half of his life as a Packers quarterback, not living in Green Bay, because obviously he goes to California during the offseason. Right. But as a Packers quarterback, over half his life, this man has given Packers fans moment after moment after moment for more than half of his life, right? And so that's a big deal. And so in the end, do you cave and say, you know what, I can't do it? Like, he might think he wants to do it, and he's like, okay, I liked what they said to me when I talked to the Jets, you know, what their plan is and what they're going to do for me and what they're going to try to do for the team. The other thing that is interesting is like, if you're wanting to go play for the Jets, well, you know that you're Aaron Rodgers, and you know the Packers aren't going to just trade you for a ham sandwich.
Right.
So you're going to go to a team that's going to have less assets to work with to help build around you, because they had to get you. Now, I saw Albert Breer apparently reported on Wednesday that he didn't, not reported. I think he might have just said, it might be his opinion, he doesn't think that it's necessarily a foregone conclusion that the Jets are going to have to give up their number one pick this year in this Rodgers deal. What's your take on that? That to me seems like a stretch.
If they don't give up a one, if they don't give up that 13th pick, then they got to give up a lot. I think, was it Breer the one that said that if they don't give a one, or was it, I think Bill Huber wrote something too. Maybe it was the same thing. Maybe they were played off each other, that it would have to equal a one. So like a two, a three, and a four this year, and then something next year, maybe some players. Listen, if I'm the Packers, I'm saying I want that 13th pick.
Yeah, of course.
If they say, well, no, then okay. Then I want your 2, 3, and a really one of your really good players. I mean, I'm not getting Sauce Gardner. That's off the table. No, that's
or Quinn Williams.
I've heard
right.
stuff about. Oh yeah, give him Sauce. No, they're not trading the best. Maybe, he might be the best cornerback in the league already.
Yeah,
but can you imagine him and Alexander together?
yeah, and listen, no, I don't care how stacked a cornerback room is. If he's available and you have the problem of adding him to your team, just add him and figure it out later.
Right, but I mean the Jets aren't. They took him very high. No, they're not giving up Sauce. But I want an impact player. I'm not taking just I'll take this guy. He's a pretty good defensive lineman. No, I need if I'm not getting the one, I need an impact player along with your 2 and 3.
Well, here's how I'd play hardball with
Or do you take next year's number one? I mean, I don't. Mm-hmm. This year's draft, I finally this week, I spent a lot of, I really started working on draft stuff and talking to a lot of people. This isn't a good draft.
Yeah, I don't get the sense that it is either. I'm interested to see
more draft stuff, I'm sure, as the weeks go on, but. Mm-hmm. This is one of the weaker drafts in the last many. I mean, I had a guy tell me there are guys that are going to go, you know, from like after 10, he said, you're really getting guys that are second and third round picks that are just going to go into first round because
someone's got to, you got to pick somebody, yeah. Right? I mean, well, here's what I would say. So yeah, and we'll drill down on some of that. I'm looking forward to delving into a little bit of that and doing some draft stuff, mostly because it'll mean that this saga is over with and we know what's going on and we have clarity and we can move on. But my take, if the Jets pull the first round pick this year off the table and they start saying, hey, impact player, we'll give you 2, we'll give you 3. Then if I'm the Packers, I'm going to come back to the Jets and I'm going to say, well, then now we need to talk about some of your premium picks next year. If you're going to take away a 1 this year, then you're giving me your 2 this year and a 2 next year and a 3 next year. And if they say, well, we don't know if he's going to play for 2 years, I'm going to be like, well, then that 1 this year is looking a little better in this deal, isn't it? Right? So it's kind of like, and I know that I sound bravado and there's a business aspect to this. And the Jets do know that the Packers obviously want to move on to Jordan Love. So it's not like the Packers hold all the cards. The Jets have some leverage. They know that they don't have to give up the farm. But at the same time, it's like, you know, the Jets sit there across the table and proverbially tell the Packers, hey, we're going to put together this nice trade offer. This will be a great place for Aaron to come play. We can do this, this, and this. And if I'm the Packers, it's like, okay, well, but can you meet our asking price? And if the Jets say no, then it's kind of like, okay, well, then you're not getting my business. Like, I know it's not that simple, but I do think that I would be disappointed if we're not talking about the 13th pick in this deal. That's my take.
Yeah, I'm with you on 100%. And yeah, the Packers aren't dealing well. The Packers leverage got stronger over the last week when Derek Carr signed with New Orleans, and then even when Geno Smith got his deal with Seattle, Daniel Jones getting a deal with the, you know. So if Joe Douglas, if I'm Goody and Joe Douglas says to me, well, then we don't want him. You keep them. Oh, well, I'm not giving you no. There's no way I'm giving you 13. Keep them. I trade them. I say okay. All right, Joe. How's Zach Wilson doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me run that film. Let me run that tape of Zach Wilson again. You sure that's what you want to do?
We'll skip over the Packers game because that was the only game where he actually made some plays.
But I'm like, you know, hey, Joe, you took that guy with the second. You know, you're about to get fired because you took Zach Wilson. So. Good luck. Sorry. I got Carolina on the other end here. You know, I mean, you know, the Jets can't hardball the Packers here. They got to know that they need him because they're not picking high enough to get. Well, I don't think they want to draft another quarterback because, first of all, I don't know who I don't love these quarterbacks like everybody else does. And they're picking too low. They'd have to trade a bunch to move up to get one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They made it clear to Zach Wilson is not, he might, they're going to give him time, but I don't know when that time might be up. Carr, I mean, there's no, who to, Jimmy G? I think he's going to the Raiders. And even if they get Jimmy G, I mean, so who's going to quarterback week 4 when he's hurt?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there aren't many options out there you want Jameis Winston? You want, you know, Rodgers is a Jets only. I mean, and now, because it's been out there, now it's, you know, it's been reported everywhere that they met and they did and this and that. If this deal falls through for whatever reason, the Jets are going to get killed more than the Packers are.
They,
especially if the Packers turn around and trade him somewhere else.
Yeah, if they flew, listen, if they, I mean, there's a lot of visual evidence that this thing is moving in a specific direction. I mean, they flew out there.
Yes.
And they, and so you're not going to fly out there and you're not going to fly out there and lowball.
And it wasn't just one guy. It was the owner, the general manager, the head coach, and the offensive coordinator. So, I mean, that's an entourage.
Yeah. Do you remember what it took to get Brett Favre to come back in 2010? It's like four or five teammates that went down to Mississippi during the offseason. Jared Allen and Ryan Longwell and who else was down there?
I forget. Yeah.
A bunch of those, you know, Hutchinson, yeah. Steve Hutchinson, those guys all went down there. They weren't going down there to play cards.
But I'm saying the owner, the general manager, the head coach, and the coordinator, who's your friend, all go to see, you know, no, it's, I think the Jets want it. I think the Jets kind of want Rodgers to tell them, I'm going to give you 2 years. And I don't know if he's ready to say that.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a little bit of a, you know.
Well, and that's.
If I'm Rodgers, when they say to me, can you give us a 2 year that you're going to play 2 years? My answer would be, well, after we win the Super Bowl this year, maybe I just want to walk away.
Well, I would. Yeah.
Super Bowl.
I think the Jets would be okay with that. I think they would be willing to concede that second year if they're hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. Yeah. After this season. I mean, but what you're getting for Rodgers, even for 1 year, I still think is worth that 13. I mean, they can say, okay, look, we'll give you 13, but we want a second back or something. I mean, I'm not saying the Packers would do it, but they can at least ask. It's a negotiation. Like,
yeah,
it's
sure.
You know, it's a negotiation. So if Rodgers is only giving them 1 year of assurance that he's going to play, then, yeah, that does change the compensation and what they're going to be willing to give up and all that other kind of stuff.
That's why it might have to be future. It might be like, you know.
Conditional.
Every year he plays, the Packers keep getting picks.
Yeah, conditional. And that's fine. I mean, I'm okay with that. I just want resolution and this team to have a path and a plan moving forward of what they're going to do. If it's going to be Jordan and he's going to be the quarterback, then let's make that clear and let's start the offseason program, you know, with a clean slate and knowing 10 is the dude and let him know that and do all of his prep and everything that he's doing on his own.
Oh, this happening. Jordan Love will be the opening day quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know where I think Aaron Rodgers is a Jet, but if he's not a Jet, he's either somewhere else, another team pops up, or he retires. But and I don't think retire, I mean, who knows, but at this point, I don't see him coming back to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I think the Jets, obviously, I mean, no one else has put on the full court press like they have.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, they haven't allowed anyone yet either.
Now, what's interesting to me is that apparently the Raiders are out. They're not, you know, they're not reportedly on Rodgers anymore. And they also reportedly are not interested in Lamar Jackson, who is now available to be negotiated with after the exclusive rights franchise tag that Baltimore put on him. So interesting times in Vegas with Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I think when the Raiders are picking seven, they might be in love with one of the college quarterbacks. Yeah. And at seven, they could, though one of them will still be there. And it wouldn't take much to move from seven to five to say if that's what you have to do or whatever. I mean, I think the Raiders are looking at a young – or – I think that's a landing spot for Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, McDaniels knows him from their time together in New England.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That kind of makes sense to me a little bit there.
But they're also waiting right now. I mean, if that's what it is that they want
to
do.
But they have to wait. Jimmy, free agency doesn't start till next week, so they can't sign Jimmy tomorrow.
Right. But, you know, I guess, you know, this is my tongue-in-cheek way of saying, like, you know, they're friends. I'm sure they've, you know, at least some pleasantries.
That stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have, I mean, they can't say anything.
Right, they can't report it.
I could say, I mean, I never thought the Raiders, I don't know. I mean, there was always a possibility because of Adams pushing for it, but I didn't think McDaniels was wanted. I think he wants a younger, he doesn't want to, you know, I don't know if McDaniels and Rodgers would have been a good marriage.
Well, he wanted, I know, you know, I've said it a billion times. He, when Mike McCarthy was being replaced, I think he was high on Rodgers' wish
list. You said that. That's who Rodgers was.
But it's probably changed over the years, and he's probably seen some things, and he's like, oh, I'm glad, you know, maybe he's glad the Packers didn't go that route.
Well, when I say Rod, well, that was Rod, I mean, McDaniels didn't get the job for some reason, so something happened, right? So maybe McDaniels, I don't know. I'm not a big McDaniels. I don't think he's such a great coach, to be honest with you.
Well, he hasn't accomplished.
He hasn't done anything.
He hasn't accomplished much.
I mean, the Raiders made the playoffs the year before with the Packers special teams coaching them.
Yeah, that's true. And they and McDaniels.
And they get rid of him. They bring in McDaniels, and they don't make the playoffs. And they trade for Davante Adams.
Right. Well, remember I said he didn't do anything in Denver when he was in Denver years and years ago.
And then he got a second chance, which all right. And he's not doing much. All I know is the Raiders were a playoff team. They added arguably the best receiver in football, one of the top three, but some would say the best, and they didn't make the playoff.
Right.
So Josh McDaniels didn't get any coach of the year votes.
Moved him backwards.
Yeah.
Yep. So
I don't know. I mean,
when is this? I mean, the legal tampering period starts Monday.
Okay.
You can sign deals midday on Wednesday.
Right.
So when does this thing, when do you think, I mean, you know, obviously it's not going to hold your feet to the fire if you're wrong, but when do you think we get a resolution on this?
I really, really thought like today, I thought it would be, I thought when they flew out there, the Jets were going to fly home and have a press conference.
Have a deal. Well, by the time you're listening to this, I should have prefaced the whole thing at the beginning of the show. By the time you're listening to this, this all might be a done deal. So this might all be just kind of fun to listen to, like, oh, you know, speculation and all that kind of stuff. By the time we actually, because obviously we're recording this on Wednesday night. So by the time you wake up and on Thursday or by now, you're listening to this, we may already have more clarity or we might not. I mean, to me, I wouldn't be surprised if something hits like Saturday.
Okay. It could. Again, I would think, and again, this is just speculation. Experience, whatever you want to call it. If the Packers gave it, and they had to, like you said, they had to give the Jets permission to even talk to them on the phone like they did on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And more, not, you know, then take it 10 steps further by them flying out and the meeting. The Packers and Jets have had multiple conversations prior to all this happening. This wasn't, Joe Douglas didn't pick up the phone and call Brian Gutekunst on Monday and said, hey, mind if we talk to Rodgers? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Here's his number. Here, I'll give you his cell number. Here, call him on the cell. This is the Packers. So I think, and again, this is just experienced speculation, the Packers and Jets already have, whether it's the 13th pick or not or whatever, they have the parameters of a deal in place. And maybe part of it is, okay, if he's going to play 2 years, we'll give you this. If he's only going to play 1 year, we'll give you that. And the Packers saying, okay, well, if he does this, we'll do that. I think, I'm not saying the exact deal is in ink, but they've come to a somewhat of a mutual agreement on what he's worth. And, you know, I can't believe the Packers would let the Jets get this far without talking to them about compensation first. Because if the Packers insist on the 13th pick and the Jets insist we're not giving you the 13th pick, then we're not going out there and talking. Why waste our time convincing him to play for us when we're not going to get the deal done because the Packers aren't going to want too much for him?
That's what I was going to ask you does this plane even leave New York without an outline of a deal in place?
Exactly. No, I don't think so. I don't think the Jets would waste their time. Again, I don't think the exact every inch of the deal is completed. But I think, like I said, the parameters are in place. Now, it could get bigger. It could get, like you said, maybe the Packers throw in this and the Jets add that and this comes there and that. You know, who knows? Maybe the Packers, like you said, throw another pick. Maybe the Packers get, maybe the Jets throw a player in. But I think just like when the Davante Adams deal last year, the Raiders had to work out a deal with him. Well, he was a franchise tag, right? So the Raiders had to work out,
mm-hmm.
so they were allowed to talk to him. That's a little bit different. The only deal, this brings me back way back now to, and it involves the Packers, but I was covering the other end of it. Do you know, I don't know if you even know this, the Packers traded Mark Brunell to the Eagles, but the deal fell apart.
Okay.
And then they traded him to Jacksonville. Yeah. You weren't aware of that, were you?
No, I was not. What happened?
Anybody outside of Philly and Green Bay knew that. It was 1995. Ray Rhodes became the Eagles. The Eagle was just hired as the Eagles head coach. John Gruden was his offensive coordinator. Both of them knew Brunell. Gruden knew him real well, working with him in Green Bay, as you know, far as backup. The Packers were definitely trading Brunell because it was the last year of his rookie contract, and Favre was the guy. So Brunell was going to leave as a free agent. So the Packers decided let's get something for him, and the deal was done. The Eagles we're going to give the Packers a second round pick for Brunell, and it was done. But the problem was the Eagles couldn't get a deal done with Brunell.
Okay.
They couldn't get a contract done, and it wasn't even money. It was the length of the deal. The Eagles wanted him to sign a 5-year deal, and his people only wanted a 3-year deal.
Right.
And to which I said it then, and I'll say it how many years later? Almost 30 years later. Why didn't he just do a 4-year deal? They couldn't meet in the middle.
Yeah, there's always weird things that go on and reasons why
the deal
teams...
never got done. And the Packers, you know, are saying, listen, Philly, are you getting this? What's going on here? Because the draft's in like 3 days. Do we have your second round pick or no? And well, we don't get the deal done. Well, then shut up, stop, hang up the phone, because Jacksonville's giving us a 3 and a 5.
Right.
And that's what happened.
And on we move.
And say the Packers couldn't waste any more time waiting for the Eagles to get this done, either get it done or we're trading them to Jacksonville.
Well, listen, it is the Jets, I guess, and I know this isn't what you're saying, but just to take it in my own direction.
I'm just
here
saying deals can fall apart.
So that's what I was going to say. So I'm letting my mind wander a little bit here and thinking to myself, well, it is the Jets. Listen, I mean, they're not known as being the most solid franchise in all the NFL. I'm not talking smack about Douglas as a GM or Johnson as the owner or anything like that, but it is possible that the Jets feel good about where they're at, or maybe they wanted to meet with Rodgers before they put anything else together or tried to offer him some more assurances or contract stuff or whatever. And maybe it does fall apart. And the other thing too is that Rodgers is not he's a methodical thinker. I don't want to say slow. He's not slow, but he's a methodical thinker. So for them to land and have a deal done would have been surprising to me, only because Aaron Rodgers just doesn't seem to come to conclusions that quickly. I can see him wanting
that's a good point.
To mull it
Who's
over.
Who's making the decision here? The Jets or Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both, but I think that it's realistic based on what we know about Aaron, and I'm projecting, that's why I'm thinking Saturday, maybe Sunday. Because I even though he was in the darkness retreat, right? New information, new stuff is come out. Now, we don't know. All this may have already been known. I know Roger said he didn't go and do the darkness retreat because he was trying to figure out if he wanted to play football. But maybe a lot of these details and all the Jets' interest and the fact that they were going to come out and meet and all that, maybe he knew about that when he went in there and he was like, hey, I got to really think this through.
When did the Jets hire Nathaniel Hackett?
It was...
a while ago,
and a half ago, yeah.
You don't think Hackett was on the phone with Rodgers soon thereafter?
Oh, he absolutely, they had to.
Sure.
Yeah, they were. Of course they were.
Or Rodgers might have called him.
Come out here. Yeah, come on out. I'm going to, yeah, 100%. They definitely.
And you know they talked to Hackett like, hey, you know, we need a quarterback. I'm going to talk to this Robert and Joe Douglas. Well, I'm trying to make this happen. All right. You know what I'm saying? They've had, there's no way Hackett and Rodgers have not talked since Hackett got hired.
You won't convince me that there wasn't part of the reason. I mean, it would be foolish if it was the only reason, but you won't convince me that part of the reason why Nathaniel Hackett is in New York isn't because of Aaron Rodgers.
And that's why Denver hired him last year. They thought they were going to get Aaron Rodgers and the Packers decided not to trade him. And again, we've been over that. You know, yes, looking back, they should have.
No one is ever going to mistake Russell Wilson for Aaron Rodgers. I'll just leave it at that.
No, but that was plan B when Rodgers.
Remember that long gap I mentioned on the paper before where there's plan A and then there's this huge gap and then there's plan B, especially the way it went. I'm not a Russell Wilson fan, so, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I'm not his biggest supporter. But, well, more to come. It's... these are interesting just times, obviously, because here we are, and we've heard the comparisons, and it's 15 years later when Brett was going through it. Situation very different. Brett retired. Aaron has not said he was retired.
Right.
So a very different situation. But here we are once again, the Packers and a very successful quarterback are trying to navigate a departure here. And I think both sides are trying to have learned from the past and not want to repeat some of the things that happened. But I did. It was interesting. I was listening to Wilde and Tausch on Wednesday. And one thing that Jason Wilde brought up that I thought was a good point was when Brett showed back up in Green Bay and walked his way back into family night, the fans were excited. They wanted him back. Okay, Brett's going to stay. The Packers have to bring him back. Mm-hmm. They booed Aaron Rodgers at practice, right? If Aaron Rodgers shows back up at mini camps or training camp, let's just call it, right? And this would obviously be a scenario where there was no trade. It fell through. And I'm assuming that he's not going to retire and unretire. That's not like Rodgers. But if Rodgers showed back up in Green Bay and tried to force his hand in coming back to the Packers, the totally opposite reaction at this
Rodgers
point.
The fans would
Rodgers would be the bad guy. And I think a lot of that probably has to do with the information age and social media. And we have way more coverage and information and people dropping nuggets on this than we did. I mean, you had to wait for SportsCenter. You had to wait for Adam Schefter to go on live. I think he might've been still with NFL Network back then. I don't know if he was with ESPN yet.
Was the NFL Network even around then?
It was. No, it definitely was. But you had to wait. You know, you had to wait until those things happened.
Well, I think part of it, too, is just the personalities of Favre and Rodgers. And I'm not judging either one. But mm-hmm. Favre back in that year back then was... He was a good old guy. Good old Brett Favre, right? I mean, fans loved him until... all that, until he went to the Vikings and all that, you know, it was Brett Favre. He brought the Packers out of the dark years.
Yeah. 30 years later. I mean, it was a long time where the Packers were average
bad for a long time. You know, every once and again, they'd be okay, but bad. Wolf, Holmgren, Favre, and then Reggie, a bunch of other people. But, you know, so Favre was I understand. And listen, I'm consistent. It was time then to move on to Rodgers, and I was doing a lot of radio back then in Philly, and people were talking about it. And I wasn't doing Packer stuff, obviously, but that was a big story, so I did talk about it. And I kept saying, "No, it's not. You know, it's time. The guy can't retire and unretire. You know, he's got to make up his mind." And they're moving on to this Aaron Rodgers, who was a first round pick. It's time. He's waited long enough. And I'm saying the same thing now, you know, I mean, it's Jordan Love's turn. Let's see. So I'm consistent with that, but I could see where the people who back then wanted Favre to come back and didn't want to let Rodgers play are now switching gears. Cause Aaron isn't a good old boy. Mm-hmm. Aaron's Aaron. He's a complicated fella.
Yeah.
Great player. I mean, you could argue all day who's the better player. I don't know.
He's a more polarizing figure than Brett Favre was. You've got
as a player, yes.
Couple different sides of the coin. You've got a pretty strong group that are pro and a pretty strong group that are against. And some of those reasons don't even relate to football. So
it should only relate to football. But
well, good luck there. I mean, it's just, you know, especially in this day and age. And Rodgers, you know,
well, now Favre, if you want to get away
and
from football.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
I mean, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, it's bad.
My thing is last year turned is what, if you watched last year, and I, both of us certainly did, and most of the people listening to us did, you can't watch last year and absolve Aaron Rodgers, and not just last year. Even his two MVP years, he bombed in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
He bombed. Yeah, blame special teams all you want for the San Francisco loss. And they deserve it.
Yep.
He scored 10 points. The MVP put up 10 points. The MVP had the ball tied 10-10 after the blocked punt. The blocked punt didn't win the game for the Niners. It just tied the score. The MVP got the ball back with plenty of time to go down and kick a winning field goal or score a winning touchdown. Didn't do it.
Yep.
2 years, the Tampa Bay game. Yeah, blame Kevin King all you want. Blame Mike Patton. Both of them lost their jobs. But the MVP had the ball.
Right.
And three times in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
and scored 3 points.
Yep.
So, you know, last year wasn't even a playoff game. It was the Detroit Lions at a dead Detroit Lion team playing just for pride
on the road
at Lambeau Sunday night. MVP had the ball, didn't get it done again.
On the road.
I'm done with him.
On the road where the Packers had won for 25 years straight at Lambeau Field. I mean, the Lions at one point hadn't beat the Packers at Lambeau Field in 25 years.
It was the longest streak ever, I think, of a team not winning at a place, right?
Ever. And I know that that streak was broken back in 2015, and Rodgers' teams have, and the Lions are different, and they're better, and okay, all that, Van Campbell and all that kind of stuff is fine. But to me, it just comes down to when you can say, hey, regardless of, you know, the injury, I get it, the injury and some of the other factors, but when you can say, we could have done this with the other guy, then it's time to at least think about what the future holds and if it's time to go in a different direction. And the Packers obviously want to do that.
Yes, and they should.
They want to do that, and it's because it's time, and we've said it was time.
Just like they should have done it when they went from Favre to Rodgers, it's time to go from Rodgers to Love.
Mm-hmm.
It just is.
Yeah, right.
And like I said, I've said this before, I like Aaron Rodgers. I do. And I'm going to – if he goes to the Jets will become my favorite team in the AFC for a year or however long he's there. I will want them to win that. I don't think they will beat the Buffalo Bills, but I would like to see them. I got no, you know, Josh Allen means nothing to me. I do like Sean McDermott, but I would want the Jets to do well. I'd want them to, you know, make the playoffs and win the division. And I don't know if I'm, I mean, we'll take it from there, but yeah, I would like to see him do well. I would not know Will. As long as, I mean, they play the Packers, I don't want them to beat the Packers. The only way I wouldn't want them to do well is if the Packers get a pick next year. Then I want them to be 0-17.
Right.
That's getting the Packers get the first pick of the draft.
We talked about that. Yeah, we talked about that too.
That's different. I mean, I'm just saying from a – actually, I'd want them – yeah, if that was the case, I'd want the Jets to go 0-17 but lose every game 38-35. Rodgers throws 5 touchdown passes every week, but they lose because –
You're planning on adding him to your fantasy team?
I don't do fantasy.
No, I don't either.
But I was going to say, you know, I don't – I hold no ill will. Just like when Favre went to the Jets, I didn't want Favre not to do well for the Jets. Now when he went to the Vikings, that's a different story.
Right. That was all, the gloves were off at that point. Then it was all bets are off. And yeah, I don't know. I've seen a lot of great games at Lambeau Field. I've been very fortunate to be there for some really fun ones. I was there in 2010 when the Packers beat the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. I don't know that I've been more nervous for a Packers game than that game that night. I really don't. I've anticipated and have had so much fun, and I try not to tie the result to my feelings about the trip, the game, or anything like that. I've been very fortunate, and they've won a lot of times. I think they've won a lot more than they haven't when I've been in the building. I don't think I've been more nervous or anticipated a game more than that one. That was craziness, just absolute craziness. So hopefully we're not having to go through that again with Rodgers. I would think we aren't here, but. All right, so more to come, obviously, and then by this time, so by this time next week, there's going to be, talk about news. I mean, whether it hits on our day or not, there's going to be a lot to talk about. There's going to be a bunch that we'll know. I think we'll have clarity on this situation. We'll know what's going on there. The Packers might have a much different situation going into the draft as far as capital and stuff to work with. Who knows? We'll see. I guess we'll find out. But before we pop out, any final thoughts on this? And then obviously, I want to know what's up at Packer Report and what's coming up soon.
On Packer Report right now, I have a story on four. The Pack free agency is coming next week. So now you have about a week to keep your guys out of free agency. So I did a little story on just four Packer players that I would suggest the Packers sign now before they get to free agency. And then coming up, I'm on hold. I'm going to wait. I don't want to write anything until hopefully there'll be some news, something to write about the next couple of days.
Right. And if there is anything noteworthy, then there might be some more content over at Game On Wisconsin, that being the Quick Slants podcast. So stay tuned. In the meantime, thanks everybody for riding along with us. Hope everybody is gearing up for another good weekend wherever you're at as we get closer to that. Staying warm, staying safe as always. Take it easy, following all the fun on social media. Be good to each other. It's a crazy time in Green Bay, so let's be there for each other. And as always, go Pack, go.